Chof Dalet Kislev, Wednesday the 1st of December, Rabbi Yaakov Sumor, Mahadvim, Mina Mahadvim, B'nei Chanukah.
Morning, my Rabbi Say. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to say a Shia. I had to miss my regular Shia and Yeshiva this morning, but it's been compensated by this opportunity. The Gemara in Shabbos concerning the mitzvah Ne'er Chanukah begins Tanu Rabbanan, that's a braisa, mitzvah Ne'er Chanukah Ishu Beisoy. One Ne'er is sufficient per household. The Hamahadrin, those who are Mahadir, apparently the word Mahadir usually means to beautify, to do a mitzvah in a better way. Ne'er l'chol echod ve'echod. Each individual in the house has their own ne'er. B'hamahadrin min hamahadrin, a second level of hiddur. Then we have the machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say we begin with 8 and decrease to 1, and we pass from like Beis Hillel that Yom Rishon Madlik Achas Mikan Ve'Elech Moisif Ve'Elech. And that's the famous remez, Chanukah is Rosh Hashanah. Ches, Neiris, Vahalocha, Kedivrei, Bisila. There is a big question in the Rishonim how to understand the second level of Hiddur. Tosfos says that anybody who is opting for the second level of Hiddur cannot also do the first level of Hiddur. Says Tosfos, if you're going to have every person in the household lighting their own ne'er, which is the first level of Hiddur, then how can people tell which day of Chanukah you're celebrating in the second level of Hiddur by being moisiv each night? Because when you see a whole group of ne'eros being lit, you don't know how to interpret the number of ne'eros. So if you would just light one menorah per household, then it would be obvious. Each night there's an additional light. Then you'll have the second level of Hiddur to be moisif, to add on one ne'er for each night. But if you also want to do the first level of Hiddur, that each person in the household is lighting his ne'er, then if, say, for example, you walk past somebody's house on Chanukah and you see four ne'eros, how are you supposed to interpret it? It could be four people lighting one there. It could be one person on the fourth night of Chanukah. Says Tosfos that im oisa ne'er l'chol echad, if you will do ne'er for each person as the first level of Hiddur says, then afilu yosef mikan ve'elech, even if you'll increase each night, everybody in the house will increase each night, leka hekera, there won't be any recognition of the additional ne'er, she yizbaru, because people will think shekach yesh bnei odom b'bayis. That's how many people are in the house. So really, Tosfos is telling us that in these two levels of mahadrin, and mahadrin min mahadrin, is a choice. It's either or. You can't do both. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos, and that's the minig of Sfaradim today too, that they only have one menorah per household. The words of the Mechaber, we'll just quote from the Shulchan Aruch. Kama neiros madlik, how many neiros does one light? Balayla harishon madlik echod, first night you light one. Mikan ve'elech, moisiv v'cholich, you add an extra echod b'chol layla, one more each night. Va'filu im rabim b'nei habayis, even if there are many people in the house, loy yadliku yosef, you should not light more. That's the Mechaber. However, the Rambam understood the Gemara differently. The Rambam understands that the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, are also doing Hiddur number one. The Rambam says, Kamo Neiris Hu Madlik B'Chanukah, and he brings that the Ikadin is just to have one Neir, V'HaMahades HaMitzvah Madlik Neiris Kaminyin Anshe HaBayis, Neir L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad, V'amahada yes alzeh, is madlik ner l'chol echod ve'echod, for each individual, belayla harishon, on the first night, u'moysiv v'hoylech b'chol layla belayla ner echod. And in case it wasn't clear enough, the Rambam gives us an illustration. Ketzad, how does this work out? Harei shehoyu anshi habayis asor. If you have a household of 10 people, belayla harishon, on the first night, madlik asora neiros, you have 10 neiros. Belayl sheni, esrim. Belayl shlishi, shloishim. Ad shenimtza madlik, belayl shmini, shmoinim neiros. So on the 8th night of Chanukah, you have 80 lights. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, who Ashkenazim follow, seems to take on like the Rambam. He says, v'yesh ha'imrim, b'chol echo mibnei habayis yadlik. Each person in the household should be madlik. V'chein ha'minig poshet. And that's the minig. However, the Ramah makes a proviso for doing this hiddur in this way. V'hizaru, you must be careful, liten kol echo v'echo neiroisov. Each one in the house, each member of the house, has to put his neiros b'mokam miyuchot in an individual place, in a specific place. Kedei sheyeh heker kama neiros madlikin. And that way, you have solved the problem which Tosfos was concerned about. Tosfos was concerned that it doesn't show the increase in numbers if there's just a whole group of neiros all together. So the Ramah says, our solution is, and this is how we do, we have a separate menorah for each person in the house, and that way we can see each group of neiros has a clear heker to moisif v'hoylach. The difficulty is to understand Tosfos' way of learning. According to Tosfos, you have a choice of which hiddur to do. Why does the Gemara call hiddur number 2 mahadrin, mina mahadrin? And hiddur number 1 is just mahadrin. It's really just a choice of two different hidurim. You either opt for the hiddur where every person has their own layer, that's one type of hiddur, or, says Tosfos, you can opt for the other type of hiddur, one menorah per household, but you increase the neiros. So it's either or. So in that case, the Gemara shouldn't call it mahadrin mina mahadrin. The Gemara should say, you can be mahadah either with option A or with option B. The Gemara seems to consider the second hiddur some form of greater hiddur, although, on the other hand, you're losing out, you're not doing what the people who do the first hiddur do. So on this, Rabbi Kiveiga, in his tshuvas, he says, he adds a few words of explanation into Tosfos, and he says, the second hiddur is a better type of hiddur. Rabbi Kiveiga's words are, odif, it's better. So we need to understand, Rabbi Kiveiga doesn't explain, in what way is the second hiddur better? One hiddur is that every person is involved. Every person has a ne'er, or according to some aforeshim, the balabayas light on behalf of every person in the house. That's one type of hiddur. The second type of hiddur is that each night we see the numbers going up to celebrate the additional neis each night. Why is it odd if, why is it a better hiddur in the second option? And the answer is, there are two types of understanding of the word hiddur. Rashi says on the word mahadrin, a little explanation which we wouldn't expect to find on this word mahadrin. Rashi says, mahadrin achar hamitzvus. We would have said mahadrin es hamitzvus. People who want to beautify and do a mitzvah in the best way, we would call it mahadrin es hamitzvah. Rashi says mahadrin acha hamitzvus, on the first level of hiddur. What does it mean, mahadrin acha hamitzvus? The word lahader in the Gemara's Lashon HaKodesh can sometimes mean to chase, to go after. Tzorich lahader acharov. Rashi understands that the first level of hiddur doesn't mean what we call normally hiddur mitzvah, when we talk about an esrog, hiddur mitzvah. That's not the meaning of the word hiddur here in the Gemara. The first level of hiddur is mahadrin acha mitzvah, somebody who wants to have a connection himself to the mitzvah. This is a connection between the person and the mitzvah. The second level of hiddur the Rashi doesn't say anything, we can assume the second level of Hiddur is the normal Hiddur of being Mahadir Esa Mitzvah, to do the Mitzvah in a better way. So really, there are two types of Hiddur being referred to in this Gemara. The first type of Hiddur is somebody who wants to connect up to a Mitzvah. He doesn't want to have just that there's one Menorah per household. Each person in the house wants to be represented in celebrating the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So that's the first type of Hiddur, Mahadrin Achah HaMitzvahs, where each person is getting involved in the Mitzvah. The second type of Hiddur is where the Mitzvah is carried out in a better way. The Mitzvah is performed in a better fashion. Not that the person is more involved, but the Mitzvah is done in a better way. So now we can understand what Rabbi Kivega means when he says one is considered a better level of Hiddur. Because there are two types of Hiddur. We're not just talking about two Hidurim of the same type. We're talking about two very different types of Hiddur. And the Gemara is saying there's one option that each person in the house should be involved in the Mitzvah. But there's another option. And that, says the Gemara, is Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, because this way you've improved the Mitzvah. The improvement which has taken place is that the Mitzvah has taken place in a better way because you've shown an increase in the Neis by adding an additional Ner each night. In talking about the idea of Hiddur Mitzvah, there's a famous Vort, it's well known, in fact everybody says it from their Rebbe, that why did Chazal give you an option of Hiddur Mitzvah by Ner Chanukah more so than other mitzvahs? We don't find that in the Mitzvah of Moro, Chazal say, we'll give you one option, we'll give you a second option, we'll give you a third option, to Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, and we don't find in the other mitzvahs. This seems unique to the Mitzvah of Chanukah, that there's options of Hiddur, and there's different levels of Hiddur. So the Vort, they say, is that the Nes Chanukah came about through the people at the time going the extra mile, doing that bit extra and being Mahadah when they would have really been exempt. There are various reasons why they would have been exempt. They could have done the Mitzvah on a very low level of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. There's a halacha that in the case of Tumah, if it's Legabe Karban Tzibur or Navoidah Shel Tzibur, like a Lakas HaMenorah, there would have been a heter to do it even with Tumah. There would have been others, Eitzes, the Beis Halevi says, there would have been an Eitzes to make very, very thin wicks. And the Nair would have been a tiny Nair, but it would have been sufficient oil to have burned for all 8 nights until they got the fresh oil. Why did they have to stick to the normal thick wicks to get the normal big flame? Elamai, they wanted to be Mahadah the Mitzvah. And because they wanted to be the Mahadah the Mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Nes for them. And since the whole Nes came about so this desire to Mahadah Mitzvah, Chazal say we should celebrate and here are the options and see if we can live up to their ideals of being Mahadah. That's a famous vort. I want to give a little bit of depth to this idea of Hiddur Mitzvah, and I think we need to hear a quotation from the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam makes a statement, as he often does. Mitzvah Snei Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavivahi Ad Ma'oid. It's a mitzvah which the Rambam describes as Chaviva. Chaviva means it is cherished. It's something which a person loves to do. Chaviv. Something which a person likes. And not just it's Mitzvah Chavivahi, but it's a Mitzvah Chavivahi Ad Ma'oid. I've seen various places in the Rambam where the Rambam talks about mitzvahs. I don't know any other case where the Rambam uses this particular expression of mitzvah chavivahi ad ma'oit. Sometimes the Rambam says, like at the end of Hilchos Shabbos, the chashivas of Shabbos, and it's shkula keneged kol ha'teira kula. Sometimes, like in Hilchos Mezuzah, the Rambam says, person's chayev nizohebo, mipnei shi chayvas ha'koil tomid. The Rambam has his expressions for describing the importance of various mitzvahs. But what's unique is that Mitzvah Nei Chanukah is the only one which is described with this word, Mitzvah Chavivahi Ad Ma'od. It's exceedingly Chaviv. And the Rambam continues, because that is the nature of the Mitzvah, therefore, Tzorech Odom Lizoeba, a person must be particular about Nei Chanukah, kedei lohidia hanes, to publicize the nes, ulahoisiv b'shvacho keil, and to increase the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hodoyo lo, and thanking him al hanisim she'osa lanu. And the Rambam finishes off, afilu ein lo ma yoichal, even if he has nothing to eat. He's an impoverished person, and he has nothing to eat, elam in atztoka. The way he survives every day is by going to the soup kitchen. Shoyal, he has to borrow. Oy moicha kesusoy, or he has to even sell his garment. V'lekeach shemen, and buy oil, veneiros, and lamps, umadlik v'madlik. This, by the way, is the only place where the Rambam says such a level of chiyuv. And Meforshim go to pains to explain where exactly the Rambam got this from, because this is not an explicit Gemara, that a person has to even sell his garment in order to do Neiros Chanukah. There are Makairos for the Rambam, but this is the only place where the Rambam spells it out. And he says this is because Neir Chanukah is a mitzvah which is so choviv, it's so precious, there are no excuses for not doing Neir Chanukah. This is something that everybody has to do. To appreciate in depth what this idea is, that Neir Chanukah is a mitzvah which is choviv, I want to elaborate a little bit on the spirit of the times of the Chashmonaim. It's well known that Yehuda was called Yehuda HaMakabi because of the acronym of the Pasuk Mi Chomoicha Bo'elim Hashem, which the Sforim writes was either on his shield or was on his flag. And it needs explaining, why did he choose this Pasuk out of all the various Psukim in Tanakh, which talk about the Gvuras Hashem? I can think of several Psukim which would have been appropriate. He chose this Pasuk, Mi Chomoicha Bo'elim Hashem. The Gemara in Gittin, Nun Vav Amud Beis, says an explanation in this particular pasuk, and the Gemara says, "Al tikri bo'elim, elo be'ilmim." An ilim is somebody who's dumb, who can't talk. And Chazal say, "Mi chamoicha be'ilmim Hashem? Who is like you, Hashem, who is silent?" That sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be silent, inactive, as if to say, "I'm going to allow wicked people to rise and to have power and to do as they wish, as it seems, and the Ribbono Shel Olam stands by on the side and does nothing." Say Chazal, this is part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's hanhoga, his behavior, that sometimes he stands by and allows Rishoim to succeed. And this is meant by the expression Mi Chomoicha Bo'elim. The word Bo'elim is used because it has a reference also to this concept of Bo'ilmim. We'll see in a minute why this was Yehuda HaMakabi's battle slogan, Mi Chomoicha Bo'elim Hashem. But in order to understand it, we need to quote from a famous expression. Everyone knows the expression, Ein lanu lehishoin ela lavinu shebashamayim. It comes from a Mishnah at the end of Sota, which talks about how Klal Yisrael will go through difficulties, and they will have to live through times before Bias HaMashiach where life will be difficult. And the Mishnah, right at the end of Sota, says, Al mi yesh lanu yesh lehishoin, on who can we rely? Al avinu shebashamayim. Then the Mishnah continues and says various other difficulties, and it finishes off, V'al ma yesh lanu lehishoin al avinu shebashamayim. And the difficulty is that the Mishnah has already said that. It's repeated twice. In listing out all the difficulties, it repeats this expression twice. So one might think it's nice to finish off with this expression right at the end. Al ma yesh lanu lehishoin, you know, let's sum up again this idea. However, Reb Chaim Volozhiner said a very profound explanation on why the Mishnah says it twice. He says, one time when the Mishnah says it, the Mishnah is not telling you what to do to rely on Hashem. The Mishnah is listing out one of the tzoros. One of the difficulties is the people are going around saying, Amar yeshlonu lihishon al avinu shebashamayim. Instead of taking action, they're saying, Ribbono Shel Olam has got to do something here. Rabbeinu Shem has got to help us, and that's part of the Torah. It's true, says the Mishnah, that in a certain sense, Al Ma Yesh Lanu Lihishon Al Avinish Bashamayim. But sometimes that slogan in itself is the wrong message. Why is this? Because when it comes to our material needs, it's okay to say Al Ma Yesh Lanu Lihishon Al Avinish Bashamayim. The Rabbeinu Shem Vatelfen Panosa, the Rabbeinu Shem Vatelfen Gizunt, the Rabbeinu Shem Vatelfen. Aber when it comes to our Ruchnistika needs, you can't say, no, it's hard to get up for Zimman Krishma, the Rabbeinu Shem will help him. Because Havolus and Shah Bitochen says there's no place for Bitochen when it comes to your spiritual obligations, when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to your ruchnias, then don't leave things to the Eibishter. The Eibishter is leaving things to you. In the difficulties that the Chashmonaim faced against the Yevonim, we all know that there was a religious persecution. Lahashkicham teirasecho, that was the difficulty. And we know that there were some Yidden, unfortunately, who joined the Greek culture, the Hellenists. They joined the other side. And we know there was a small group, the Mishpacha of the Chashmonaim, there was a small group which went to fight against all odds. What about all the millions of the Yidden in between? There were some elements which joined the Yevonim. There was a tiny group which went into battle against the Yevonim. But what about all the millions of Yidden in between who didn't belong to either of these two groups? What were they doing? You know what they were doing? They were saying, Amai Yishlonu Lishon Al Avinash Bashamayim, the Rebbeinu Shlom Zal Helfen. The Chashmonaim, Yehuda HaMakabi, was trying to change that culture. He was trying to say, if you want the Beis HaMikdash back, if you want the Torah Mitzvahs back, don't leave it to the Eibishter. Because mi chamoicha be'il mim Hashem. Sometimes the Rebbeinu Shlom is silent, and he says, "I'm doing nothing. I'm waiting for you to make the first move. If you make the first move, then I'll help you." Yehuda HaMakabi took this slogan, "Mi chamoicha be'ilim, al tikri be'ilim, ela be'il mim Hashem," and said, "No, who's coming with me? The Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to make the first move. I'm ready to make the first move. Who's going to join me?" That was his slogan. The Gemara says in Ksubas that amongst the gezeiras made by the Yevonim was a gezeira which affected the marriage of every basula. Every basula who got married, the Gemara says, got married on Yom HaRavi'i. There was a takon of Chazal that the chasna of a basula should take place on a Wednesday on Yom HaRavi'i. And the Gemara says when there was a sakon and when there was a danger, then people just didn't get married on a Wednesday because of the danger, and the Chachamim had to turn a blind eye to it. The Gemara says, what was the danger? In Ksubas Daf Gimel Amud Beis. What was the danger? The Gemara says, the danger was because the Greeks knew of this minig, that the Yiddish Chasnas are all on a Wednesday, and therefore they made it takana, anybody who gets married on a Wednesday has to first go to the officer, Lehegmon, to the Greek officer. The Kala has to go to the Greek officer for the first night. That was the gezeira they made. So the Gemara says people were being moiser nefesh in order not to have to do that, and therefore it was unavoidable. The date just got changed and people did stop getting married on a Wednesday. So the Gemara poses the following question. The Gemara asks, Veli Akre, why did Chazal not uproot and change the takana? If Chazal saw, if the Chachomim saw that this gezeira was causing so much anguish and so much difficulty, they should have said, okay, for the time being, this rule of Basula, Nisa's Yom Ravi, has been suspended, and now you can get married on any day. And Chazal made no such proclamation. Why not? And the Gemara gives a most amazing answer. The Gemara says, Gezeira, the Gezeira of the Yevonim, Avido de Batla, it's likely to become annulled, to be removed. But takonas chachomim, and our takonas chachomim, mikame gezeira, in the face of a gezeira, lo yokrinam, we're not going to move our gezeira. We're not going to move our takona in the face of the gezeira. It's a very strange answer, because the Gemara is really saying that the chachomim thought like this, that this gezeira of the Yevonim how long is it going to last for? It's not here forever. If we're going to remove our takana, then our takana will go out the window. We might not be able to get it back again. We're keeping our takana in place. Basula nisaz liyam haravi. Aye, there's difficulties. Okay, there'll be difficulties. People will have to sort themselves out. But we're keeping our takana in place. Because it's only a question of time until the gezeira, avida de batla, until it gets annulled. It's strange, because they were faced with a real problem, and they said, don't worry, this decree of the Yevonim, it's only temporary. I mean, how do you know it's only temporary? How long is it going to last for? Till this Greek general is bumped off, there'll be another one. Who knows what he'll be going at? How can they be so confident? What was this answer? We don't need to worry, because the gezeira will become annulled. Our takana, we can't afford to risk our takana. But again, this tells us the ruach of the times. Rashi says in Masechet Shabbos, this gezeira was one of the gezeiras of the Yevonim at the times of the Chashmonaim and the Yevonim. They saw there was a gezeira here. How do you react in the face of a gezeira? Do you say, well, the Greek gezeira against Takanas Chazal, we're going to have to remove Takanas Chazal? No. That wasn't the spirit of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim were actually amongst the Chachmei Yisrael. It was the family of the Kohen Gadol who were the Gadol Yisrael. We say in Hanes Halalu Alidei Kayanecho HaGadoshim. They were great people. These Chachomim, their spirit was that we've got to fight against it. If we've got to fight against it, do we remove our Takana? We don't remove our Takana. We say this Gezeira is certainly going to go. How do I know it's going to go? Because we are going to remove it. The confidence that the gezeira is going to go is that we're not going to sit back idly and just wait for this gezeira and another gezeira. We're going to fight against it. There was such a strong fighting spirit that they were prepared to state, don't worry, Rabbi Isai, it's only a question of time. Gezeira, avida de batla, this gezeira is going to go out the window. We're going to knock it away. Takanta de Rabbanan, the Takanas Chazal, which has been around for centuries, and we want to keep it going, that's going to keep going. It was typical of the Ruach Hazman, of the spirit which they had at that time. When they came and they finally defeated the Yevonim, and they came to the Beis Hamikdash and they looked for some oil, where did they find the oil? Tosfos says it was buried under the ground. If it hadn't been buried under the ground, it would have become Tomei because of being moved, of Tumah, of Hesed. I've seen it brought down in certain Sforim, one version of where this oil was from. We say it was munach b'chaysomo shel kohen gadol. But actually there is one version which says, not in the Gemara, but in the Megillah b'nei Chashmonai, that this oil was from the days of Shmuel Hanavi. It was from the days of Shmuel Hanavi. Now, Shmuel Hanavi was before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Shmuel Hanavi's involvement with the Beis HaMikdash was only together with David HaMelech in making the Yesodis, the foundations for the Beis HaMikdash. So that implies that the oil was to be found deep down in the ground by the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's think. They were looking for some oil. There was no Torah oil, no pure oil to be found. So you look here, you look there, this corner, that corner. Has anybody got? You inquire, you don't find. You take a spade and go digging. But these were people who knew of no compromise. They wanted to do something, and they felt, we're not looking for excuses. We're not looking for a way out. We're looking for a way in. And maybe they had a Messiah, so there is some oil to be found. They dug until they found it. They found the oil and they used the oil. This is the meaning of the word Chaviv. The word Chaviv is not something which means the thing itself is important as the word Choshev. Chaviv means what it means to me. When we say in Hilchos Brachos, if a food is chaviv, you can make a bracha on that food first before anything else, it means you like it. Maybe the fellow next to you might not be interested in that particular type of food. But chaviv means, this is dear to me. This is something which I cherish. The attitude of the Chashmonaim was that the mitzvahs and the avoida are so precious, life is not worth living without it. We're going to fight till we get it back. Says the Rambam, mitzvahs nechanika, mitzvah chaviva hi, Ad ma'oid, this mitzvah is something which is choviv to the sky. Ad ma'oid. And even a poor person, he doesn't have any money. You don't have any money, but you're wearing a coat, aren't you? If you're wearing a coat, sell the coat. Don't give excuses. You have a way out. If you have a way out, if there's any remote possibility of doing Nei Chanukah, then the chavivas of the mitzvahs Nei Chanukah ought to drive you to find a way of being mekayim mitzvahs Nei Chanukah. That's the message of mitzvahs Nei Chanukah, chavivah hi ad ma'oid. So we'll finish just by quoting the words of the Rambam, but the purpose of displaying our chavivas the mitzvah is lahidiyah ha'neis, to publicize the neis, v'lehoisu b'shvach hokel, to increase the praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hoidoy aloi, and thanks al hanisim she'osa lanu, which is an expression of appreciation for the Torah mitzvahs which he's given us.